Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno was elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Every day, we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you're ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
Save on O'Reilly Brake Parts Cleaner. Get two cans of O'Reilly Brake Parts Cleaner for just $8. Valid in-store only at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Cone and Kruger, or Kruger and Cone. If you're watching on Larry Kruger's channel, I'm Grant Cone. That's Larry Kruger. We are still on, it is day 487 of Aiyuk Watch. And not much has changed, except he went on this podcast and talked for like more than an hour. And it was the most we've ever heard Brandon Aiyuk. I'm not even trying to say his name, but it was the most we've ever heard him talk. It's extremely revealing. What was your main takeaway from this interview?
His mom is a Niner fan and that he wants to be a Niner.
I could have told you that. Yeah, I took her out to dinner one time.
Did you?
Before the Green Bay playoff game when in Green Bay.
And she's hard. Supposedly she's hardcore Niners. So it's like hardcore. She's not just a fan. She's like the fan. So,
yeah.
Come on. I mean, that means a ton. And I'm not going to say he's going to take, less than market rate, but I'm just saying he doesn't want to be a Steeler. He doesn't want to be a Commander. That's all just talk. I felt like this whole thing was orchestrated to Jaden Daniels. Let's have Ryan Clark talking about Brandon Aiyuk to the Steelers and all this stuff about those teams. But then and he answered every question that he possibly could in a way that would say, hey, I want the money, right? Like, do you want to play with, you could have the Niners, everything they represent, or be on a different team. He's like, I take risks. I got here by taking risks. When he was asked about what's his ultimate goal or ultimate bottom line, he's like, taking care of my family. All those things point to, I want the most money. I don't want to be a guy who gets a big bag on a great team. I want to be one of the guys who gets the biggest bag. And I don't really care if it's on the best team. That's what I got out of it.
I got the same thing. I want recognition. I want more money than everyone else on the team or else on the offense. Yeah. And I want more targets. I'm tired of taking a back seat. And taking a back seat entails a lot of things financially, vocally, pecking order in the offense. I think he's tired of all of it, which to me is a little disconcerting because you're always worried about wide receivers. What are they going to turn into as they get older and get a lot of money and status? It's like, don't become that wide receiver, because for the first 4 years, he seemed like a, quiet, let play do the talking for him kind of a guy. And now it's like, no, are you turning into T.O.? No, don't do that.
it did sound like it's like the, you know, if you're trying to get the Niners interested, wouldn't you want to say things that would be like, hey, look, I'm the perfect receiver for this offense. Why? Because I'm making 80, you know, whatever, 29 catches of 20 plus yards, and I'm doing it in 105 targets, and other guys are doing it in 180 targets. So I'm more efficient than these guys. I block better than these guys. I'm a tone setter. I'm a tough guy. I do all the little things that it takes to win, and I don't sit at my locker like a diva and bitch and complain. But then it was like, he was almost like saying, like, that's the old me. The new me is going to be at my locker bitching and complaining. So I don't know that it was effective.
I mean, usually with football players, they try very hard when they're in interviews to not make it all about themselves and to give credit to their teammates, because it's the ultimate team sport. And Ayuk didn't do that. Ayuk sort of went the other direction. Like, you know,
I don't care what they're getting paid. It's all about me. And, you know,
I'm better than Debo. Without saying it, he said, I'm better than Debo.
Yeah.
Over and over again. I can run better routes. I can play X. It's like, man, why do you have to diminish a teammate to make your point?
Well, and more than that, I mean, it's like, you know, he was basically like saying, I don't know or care or have any feeling about how this impacts the Niners and their ability to sign any of my teammates. I don't care about any of that. I don't care. You ain't getting no hometown discount. I'll tell you that right now. Though we did kind of say no initially and then almost said, well, we'll see. But, you know, he's been the good soldier, and it's like, hey, you know what? Those days are over. It's now about me. That's what I got out of it. And also, I like Brock Purdy, but I would love, I mean, he said it. You gotta own your words. He said it. He said, I think if I played with Jaden Daniels, that he could help me take my game to the next level. So you're going to, Jaden Daniels is going to take you to a level that Brock Purdy is not taking you to right now. Is that what you're saying? Really?
Didn't that bother anyone else that he was talking so freely about Jaden Daniels? Like, dude, you're on the 49ers. Brock Purdy's only been good to you. And you're over here like pining for Jaden. Come on. I would have been pissed if I were Brock.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'd understand it because it's like, hey man, this guy's desperate to get his money, but it's not bringing you closer, you know, touting Jaden Daniels. And also, do you believe that? If you believe that, it's almost like, you know what? You almost deserve each other. Then if you really think that playing with Jaden Daniels, a rookie quarterback, on that team is better than the situation you're in right now with Shanahan and these weapons and Purdy, I almost feel like saying, you know what, go check out if the grass is greener on the other side, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Go enjoy Nashville. See how much you like Charlotte.
I mean,
they'll give you all the targets.
You know, nobody ever talks about, let's see. You can't make money playing this game if you don't stay healthy. It's harder to stay healthy when you're used constantly. Maybe you ought to look at your usage instead of as a negative, as a positive. The Niners' usage of you as a receiver, if nothing else, is just going to prolong and lengthen your career by subjecting your body to fewer hits. Why is that a bad thing?
I don't know. Yeah. I just felt like a wide receiver. Everyone calls Debo. 2 years ago, Debo Samuel was going through this. People called him Diva Samuel because he requested a trade. He never went on the pivot. He didn't have TikTok videos about. I feel like, honestly, Ayuk's handled this worse than Debo did. It's fair to ask for a trade. That's business. But this is just gratuitous attention-seeking behavior.
Well, Grant, first of all, the biggest part of the one part of that podcast that was unlike any other podcast that I've seen, and makes this a little different, I think, is when he admitted that he's making like a documentary. I mean, when I'm filming all this, and why are you filming all this? So if you're filming all this, you kind of need content for your documentary. And I get the sense that a lot of this is like, and I'm going to jerk everybody around and jerk everybody's chain and
right.
And say all this and create all this drama because I want to be able to look back on this at some point. And then that is the one move that you can't say, like holding out part of the game, demanding a trade. You could argue is part of the game, making your own documentary about your contract, you know, situation and struggle is not par for the course. That's not what every guy does. And that kind of shows a diva side, whether or at least a very self-involved side, let's just say.
Yeah. That. All of a sudden, it seems like a guy that I didn't think had any interest in being a celebrity seems like he really wants to be a celebrity. It's not that he didn't have interest in it. He didn't know how to go about it, or he felt that he wasn't allowed to try to be one because of his place in the pecking order. But now he wants to be on TMZ. He wants to be on The Pivot. He wants to be on SportsCenter Top 10. He wants to be recognized among the best at his position. Okay, fine. So did T.O. You know, maybe that's not the right person for this locker room long term. Like, let's just compare Ayuk to Debo. We can only keep one. Debo's a little bit older. Not as good of a route runner, but he gets his production in other ways and scores more touchdowns. One guy wants to be here. One guy could take it or leave it. Does it make you rethink which one is better for the team long term?
Well, yes and no. I mean, the one who I think is better for the team long term is the one whose body's going to hold out longer. And that's I still think that's Ayuk. So just because of the style he plays and the kind of game that he brings and just the way he seems to be aging. I mean, he seems to like he doesn't have a lot of bumps and bruises. He plays. I mean, the one thing about Ayuk, he plays, man. He absolutely plays every game. He doesn't sit it out. So I do think he's still probably the safer play as far as which guy's going to have longevity in the NFL and, you know, more production later in his career. I would guess it's Ayuk, but it kind of just makes you wonder just overall is, you know, do you want to, if you give Ayuk, what's going to be the impact of giving Ayuk this money? If you give him this money, is he going to be a better player, a better leader? Is he going to be a more of a me guy? Is he going to be less of a me guy? I don't know. It almost seems like the money and the usage, it's like he wants it all. It's not like I want the usage so I get the money. He's like, I want the usage and I want the money, but I don't know. I mean, like, how's he going to play going forward once he gets paid a ton of cash?
That's a good point. Like, if you give him $30 million a year, and he comes back this year and gets 110 targets again, is he going to be okay with that? Is he going to be happy, or is he going to be even more vocal about his role and usage? I mean, at that point, when he's making three times as much of what Kyle's making or twice as much as what Kyle's making, he may feel that he has the license to say whatever the hell he wants. I mean, look at what Nick Bosa did after he got paid. He essentially got Steve Wilks fired. I mean, he was candid all season about how much he dislikes. We're not prepared. We're not doing what we do. What's Brandon going to do?
Well, I mean, exactly. I mean, what is Brandon going to do in that situation? And then is that, you know, going to be a positive for the team? I don't know. I mean, I think it could work. It could work really poorly. Why? Because, okay, so he's still in this offense that has a lot of weapons, except guess what? Now they have even more weapons because they had to go draft a couple guys that potentially, you know, could replace Brandon. So now you even got more weapons. So what happens if Brandon gets a big payday and then his usage is basically kind of the same, and then guys like us start noticing, hey, by the way, the guy secured the big bag and yet he's not even utilized as the number one receiver week in and week out like Jefferson and Chase and some of these other guys. And then all of a sudden the pressure starts knocking on him. Hey, where's the production? And then maybe that makes him start demanding the ball more. So in some ways, I almost feel like he wants the money because he wants the money. And then the money is going to make other people focus on his production a little bit more. And then if his production doesn't meet the money, then he's going to say, get me more. I want the damn ball. So the money may drive him to be more of a selfish player instead of being, hey, man, they took care of me. I'll be a team player. I'll do whatever. I don't see it going that way.
Yeah, it's like, you paid me, now give me the freaking ball.
Well, now everybody's pointing at me. Hey, you paid me. Now everybody's pointing at me to produce.
Oh, I didn't produce.
Now get me the damn ball.
Yeah. Yeah. And one thing, again, I was pro keep Ayuk and get rid of Debo. I think I'm changing my mind on this. Debo's never complained about his touches, his role, his his contract. He requested a trade one time, and then he signed pretty quickly and was there for freaking OTAs and minicamp in practice, not just standing there and watching like a coach, like Fred Warner. He was out there. That's I think that's got to be, and clearly it's premeditated. He understands what Ayuk's doing and trying to do, and he's trying to change things into his favor.
In a way, they have gone from teammates and friends and near locker mates to almost like which one can survive the other.
Yeah.
Yep. They're not both going to be here.
And I mean, Debo really had, was pumping Ayuk up for a long time because Debo was famous and Ayuk was not so much. And Debo always said, that's my guy. He's a great player. Now Ayuk sort of leveraging Debo to get a contract. It's a dirty game. Isaac says, Kyle looking like a Bond villain at C-Mac's wedding. No wonder he always is in the end. We're going to talk about the Shannon stash in a minute. Michael says BA will turn into TO if he works out outside of his house and in the front yard. Clay out of Bay Area. Ayuk next. We're going to talk about Clay. Hold tight. Michael, thank you for becoming a member. Drewish guy says he probably wanted Trey, who can throw deep. It did. He met with Jaden. He was like, you know, he can throw all three levels. He can throw the deep stuff. He can hit the intermediate timing stuff and he can check it down. Right. He made a point. So what is he trying to say about Brock?
He can make any throw. When he was asked about Daniels, he's like, he's a leader. He's a smart player. He can make any throw. And then he admitted that he had a special connection with Daniels. So
that was 5 years ago. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Xavier says, I'm no offensive genius, but how come Shanny has never put Debo and CMC in the backfield at the same time? Split back every so often. Don't you guys think that would be a problem for defenses?
I do.
Yeah, like in an old, like 1985, like a pro set formation with one on each side. That'd be kind of cool. Or just in the shotgun.
I wouldn't mind seeing Grendo in the backfield, too. I mean, you know, you're talking about a guy with 4.33 speed. He's 220.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Yaz Williams says, Debo is a walking highlight reel. He really is. Lucien Lachance, they're both number one receivers, frankly. They're both top 10 receivers. Lucien Lachance, the fourth, says, would you trade Brandon Ayuk to the Commanders for Luke McCaffrey and a second-round pick?
Not for Luke McCaffrey. I mean, I know he's Christian's brother, and I know a lot of people said good things about him. But, you know, I the old saying, the film doesn't lie. I watched the film. He doesn't separate. He didn't separate at Rice. If you don't separate at Rice, you're not separating in the pros. So I need more than Luke McCaffrey and a second-round pick.
Kyle Levy stands on dumb, a.k.a. Brother Bob, been a member for 14 months. That's more than a year. Thank you very much. Okay. Another thing from this interview, Brandon Ayuk seemed to indicate that, well, it was funny. The interviewers were like, you know, you've just been so professional, not taking this to the media, not trying to negotiate through the media. It's like, really? But the Niners leaked their offer, didn't they? And Ayuk seemed to indicate that he thought that they did, and that he thought that was sort of unprofessional. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I like how it's just assumed, you know, there's two sides to this. Who's got more of an interest in leaking this out? I mean, the Niners have a player who's on a contract. He's due to make 14.2 or whatever. The status quo, they should be in favor of status quo. Status quo is paying this receiver $14 million, and there's no guarantees down the road. So, you know, to me, it seems like who's got more of an interest in this thing becoming a big public discussion point and circus? It's the Ayuk side. But we're supposed to believe, just because Ayuk said the Niners leaked it, that it wasn't his guy. It could have been him directly. It could have been anybody privy to the conversations with his agent. But he assumed it was the Niners. Now, I'll just take him at his word and just say, okay, it wasn't him. It wasn't him. It was the Niners. I don't know. I mean, who told Silver? Or did Silver just guess? And he put it out there as a report, but he actually just guessed because he kind of knew all the numbers and just said, I'll just take a chance on this. I mean, even if you were wrong, if you say the Niners offer is $26 million and in reality the Niner offer was $27 million, who cares? Nobody.
It's like, or 25. Yeah, he said it was roughly 26 also, if I remember correctly.
Yes. I mean, is he going to lose his credential and can't cover the team because he said 26 million instead of 27? I mean, you and I could have guessed that it was in the neighborhood of 26.
I got a DM today from a guy who says that he's a bartender at some resort, uh-huh, and that Ayuk's agent one of his agents from Athletes First was at the bar having libations, the bartender said,
right,
and revealed that the Niners offer was $25 million a year and Ayuk wants $27.5 million per year. Now, this is just a random DM from a random person. It could have been a prank. Could have been real. Could have misheard it. But I read that today. I thought that was interesting. $25 million and Ayuk wants $27.5 million. Interesting. Interesting.
I think he wants more.
I think he wants more.
I think he wants, I think in his mind, he's shooting for north of 30 and that he'll settle for 29. And that's my guess. But I don't, but the question is this: how you know, is he going to go to the mattresses for it? Is he going to give up half the year? Is he going to give away the preseason, give away camp, give away the first month, 6 weeks, whatever it is? You know, there's a date where he's got to show up and have the year accrue. Is he going to show up on that deadline date and basically flip the Niners the bird and say, hey, it's all about me? Because if that's the plan, then maybe the Niners should play a little bit more hardball with him and send him packing. Because are you going to let him kind of manipulate your entire team and dictate terms to you? I don't know. That might be a little much.
Here's why I'm really uncomfortable with the whole Brandon Ayuk situation and how he's sort of acting. Compare it to every other player on this offense who's got an extension. Compare it to Kittle. Kittle's an all-pro. Kittle's at least as good as Brandon Ayuk. He's just older. And when it was his turn to get the extension, he wanted the money. But did he want attention? Did he want notoriety? No, he got paid. He was happy. And there are games when he has like two catches and he never complains. There was the one Super Bowl when he's like, I would have liked some more opportunities. But otherwise, George Kittle is a good soldier who keeps his mouth shut and is cool with his role in the team. Debo's like that. McCaffrey's like that. Everyone's like that on the team except for Ayuk. That's kind of scary.
Well, okay.
It's not like his desire for attention isn't going to go away, Larry. Sorry, I just wanted to say that one last thing.
Go ahead. I missed that. What'd you say?
This desire, like, he's never had the attention before. He has it now. He clearly freaking loves it. Yeah. He's not going to let it go away. This is what he wants.
Yeah. It's like, hey, I've been this good soldier to this point, so I can act any way I want going forward. Mm-hmm. But in fairness to Ayuk, he also does. He could argue that he's somewhat selfless, Grant, because he did. I mean, I'm thinking of week one, McCaffrey down the sideline, him and Ray are 35 yards down the field, 40 yards down the field, blocking. I mean, that's going above and beyond compared to some wide receivers around the league. But that's the culture of the 49ers. You heard, that's why Belichick said, hey, you don't get on the field as a receiver unless you block. And that's a guy who watches a lot of film. This guy watches what, and if you watch a lot of film, guess what you see? You see a lot of receivers around the league that don't ever block, and then you see the Niners, whose culture is for their receivers to block. So he's done the little things, but
Goes over the middle.
He does a lot of the little things, and he's not a bitch and complain guy.
No,
and I can't remember. I mean, I'm not at all every road game, but I don't remember too many times after games where he's like, "Man, I didn't get the ball." I mean, I remember Frank Gore, and you probably remember this as well, in the Carlos Hyde years, where Frank Gore literally said, pointing right to his locker mate, Carlos Hyde, he got all the easy carries, and I got all the hard carries.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Frank said that. So, yeah. I mean, you know, just.
Here's the thing.
Ayuk hasn't done that.
Here's the thing. When Terrell Owens was in his with 98, and he makes that catch to beat the Packers in the playoffs. Steve Young throws it, the catch two. He comes off the field crying. There's a post-game interview, and he says, I just want to thank Steve Young for believing in me. At that moment in Terrell Owens' career, this is a very, very gifted wide receiver who worked hard and did everything right. Did you think that he would go on to be the person, the teammate, the caricature that he became?
Owens?
Did you see that coming at that point in his career?
No. He was...
No.
No, he became no. Owens was, it's funny. His rookie year, I did a weekly KMBR show with him, and we had to fish him out of the locker room and go down there, do it face to face. And he was so nice, so easy to deal with. That by the next year, he was starting to be kind of like, hey, man, I'm pretty freaking cool. And 2-3 years after that, it was like, dude, he was like, you know, just absolute, you know, I love me some me. You know what I mean? It was like, You know, he was extremes. He was like just trying to please everybody as a rookie to the ultimate.
Yeah.
Sideshow.
That's a good point. He did go for to extremes. He was so aw shucks. He was almost submissive in the way he acted. Like, thank you so much, Mr. Young, for giving me a chance. And by the end, it was like he was a character. He went from Terrell to T.O. And I wonder if Brandon's going from Brandon to B.A. Like Antonio went from Antonio to A.B. Just think about it, Brandon. You want to be Brandon. You don't want to be B.A.
By the way, he loves Antonio.
He does. You don't want to be B.A., okay? You want to be Brandon. Brandon is grounded. B.A. is not. You're not acting grounded right now. But there's time. You have good parents. There's hope. Xavier says, why keep the guy who during a playoff game jogged emotion and contributed in Purdy getting smashed by Riddick? Should have caught more flack for that. Debo. It's true.
What did he do?
A lot to answer for. That was 2 years ago.
He didn't run as much.
That was the Eagles game.
Are we talking about the Justin Swift missed block, that play? Or are we just talking about Justin Swift?
Hassan Reddick. Yeah. But I mean, yes.
Yeah.
That play. Grant, should the Niners treat Brock the same next year?
And watch. Play. No, you know what? They're not going to, though. That's the thing. That's, I think, the part that's going to rub people wrong. And that's the thing. You know, what's the topic that you and I will be, grinding on and tons of people will be reacting to is this isn't going down this way next year. They're going to take care of him fully. It's going to be a fat, fat number. And we're all going to sit there and
it's going to be
really
in March.
Brock Purdy got that. And
it's going to be in March, not in August.
Way early. Yeah. Going to be well before camp.
The Niners have made it clear they feel Ayuk is somewhat replaceable. They drafted Ricky Pearsall. They're prepared for things for the worst. They don't have any recourse at quarterback. They know they can't evaluate the position. They freaking traded 3 first round picks for Trey Lance. They'd be all fired if Brock Purdy didn't exist. I don't think they're going to play that game with Brock.
I agree. And also, let's be honest. There's an inherent truth to every negotiation, right? And that is, it comes down to economics, supply and demand. There's way more demand for quarterbacks than there are a usable supply. That's not really the case with receivers anymore. And you can see that there are some teams in the NFL that believe that the receiver in 2024 is not that different than the running back, let's say 4 or 5 years ago. And every year that the draft is, 28, 30 deep with quality receivers, and you can find good receivers in rounds 1 through 5, starting caliber receivers, it's hard for these guys to get broken off big dollars because there's a proliferation of wide receivers, free agency. There's a bunch draft for the last 4 or 5 years. It's always a deeper receiver draft the year after. Every year after is another deep receiving draft. It's because everybody's using the spread. Everybody's using 3, 4, 5 wides and their wide receivers are everywhere.
Why Barry pay them? Baller member for 34 months. Thank you. Okay. Let's switch gears. We just gave Brandon Ayuk 25 minutes on my show, which is what he wanted. You win, Brandon. You win. Okay. Kyle Shanahan has a mustache. This is huge freaking news. Stop the presses. Kyle Shanahan grew a mustache, got funny looking glasses, wore them together. What do you think of the new look?
I hate it.
It's terrible.
It's awful.
He needs to cut that right now.
It's part Peter Sellers. It's part Michael Caine. It's
almost Groucho Marxy with the glasses.
That's got to be the off season only thing, right? Come on.
He's like doing the Humpty dance with that. He's Humpty Hump.
It's not good. It's not a good look.
Okay, let's get serious for a second. Let's psychoanalyze it. When someone does something like that, honestly, it feels like a disguise. And maybe I'm taking this too far, but you just lost another Super Bowl. It's embarrassing. A lot of people looking at you as the reason that you lost. Now you got a mustache and new glasses. It's like, who's that guy? Is that a new guy? I don't even recognize it. It feels like you're hiding, man. Like you're in witness protection. It's a bad look. Don't cut it.
I mean, I don't know how you feel about facial hair, period. Have you ever gone full beard or anything?
No.
No. See, I don't shave down here, but I do shave up here and I shave here. I used to go goatee, but then you know what? I didn't like the goatee. I don't like the mustache, but I could never just go straight mustache. I mean, just the, no, just
look, some people can pull it off. I got nothing against a person with a strong mustache. Kyle's not one of them. And again, the timing of it makes it look fishy. It's like, who are you? If I were trying to blend in and not get noticed around town, I would wear I would grow a mustache and wear funny looking glasses. People would be like, that's not Grant. He doesn't wear funny looking glasses. Doesn't have a mustache. That's what I want you to think.
It's like a Jim Tomsula. Jim Tomsula's got a mustache. There's a man with a mustache.
He cut it after he got fired by the Niners. So he could blend in and no one would recognize him. I'm telling you. Remember Nathaniel Hackett. So he had like the worst season ever with the Broncos. Got fired after 1 year. Went to the Jets. Had some facial hair. All of a sudden, it's like, who is that guy? Oh, it's Hackett. Can't
fool
me.
Facial hair's okay, but the singular mustache is a bad look. It's a bad look. It's a bad look for everybody. Mike Yastrzemski for the Giants.
What about for porn stars? It works for them.
And the porn stash. Well, yeah. You know, it does work for them.
Though they're people too.
But bow and chicken bow wow. I think the singular mustache, it is very few people that it looks good on. I mean, like Raleigh Fingers look good on him. And look good on like, you know, a couple of there's like, Tom Selleck. It looks good on a Tom. It looked good on Jim Tomsula, but it doesn't look good on.
Kyle. See, now I feel like
it's not thick enough.
I feel like this is a challenge, a personal challenge to me. Now, next week, I'm having a mustache.
It also doesn't go far. It's like, it's kind of like a shorter stash.
I'm going to go full Raleigh Fingers next week just for you.
With the curls.
Yeah. Okay. Let's make some sleeper picks. We got some baseball. I want to go baseball. I've been doing a lot of WNBA, but today with Larry, I mean, he knows his ball.
I don't know my WNBA though.
I mean, dude, none of us.
Go
really
with Caitlin Clark. Hard foul on Caitlin Clark. That seems to be.
We see that. Hey, when do the Giants play next? Like
tomorrow. They don't play tonight. They play tomorrow. They play tomorrow in Atlanta against the Braves. So we can go
see them.
It's Tuesday. They play Tuesday.
Diego.
Monday.
Huh.
Today's a very short slate of baseball. You have the Mets Nationals already underway. Mm. You have Blue Jays Astros already over. And you have one game that starts at 5:40 Pacific, Brewers Rockies from Denver.
Well, that's not exciting.
No, not particularly.
Let's just do like famous people.
I'd probably go with Milwaukee. Go with Milwaukee on the road.
Yeah, but we're just picking players. So what about, Milwaukee, Christian Yelich, total bases, runs. It's hard to do baseball sleeper picks. 1.5 total bases for Christian Yelich.
Yeah, what the hell? It's Coors Field.
He had five total bases. Yeah, Coors Field.
Coors Field. I mean, guys have three doubles before the second inning in that park. He's hitting .321 on the year, by the way, so. It's pretty good. So
who else is good on Milwaukee?
Who else is good on Milwaukee?
Yeah.
They got a bunch of guys that are decent.
William Contreras?
Reese Hoskins, who's Sacramento's own. Reese Hoskins.
Reese Hoskins. I was going to say Reese Hoskins.
Willie Adames.
Oh, yeah. How about will he score a run? Reese Hoskins.
Yes, I would say yes.
Okay, that's a good one. I like that. Okay. How about someone, Shohei Ohtani on Tuesday? How about bases?
Shohei Ohtani on Tuesday. Let's see Tuesday's schedule here.
He's playing Arizona at home.
Okay. Well, home, Dodger Stadium is a notorious pitcher's yard. Mm. But Ohtani's raking. He went 0-3 yesterday, 0-4 yesterday with like 3 strikeouts. So he'll probably have a little bounce back performance. The pitcher they're going up against Tuesday night is Ryan Nelson, has almost a 6-point ERA. So yeah, I think Ohtani, whatever. I think Dodgers get some runs in that game.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And Ohtani.
How about Freddie Freeman?
One and a half
hits for Freddie.
I like that too. They took Freddie Freeman out of Sunday's game to rest him up. Give him a day and a half off. So, yes, I like Freddie Freeman to bounce back Tuesday.
Okay, we're just going
to
go with three today. Yelich, Ohtani, and Freeman. Those are our picks. We're very optimistic, picking more on all three of them. If you want to play, use the promo code COHN or the QR code, download the app, get a deposit match up to $100. And if you want just free money. Show me that you use my promo code. I'll give you $10 Cash App, Venmo. I'll just do it. $10 How about that? Because I'm a generous guy. Just out of niceness.
You're like Brandon after the contract. You're like Brandon after the contract.
Okay. What else we want to talk about? Okay, Ricky Pearsall. What do you think a responsible over under would be for his catches 2024? Ricky.
Well, okay. So this is a this one is a little bit of an enigma, okay? Because what is Ricky Pearsall on the 49ers? He is going to be wide receiver four. Well, wide receiver four on the 49ers last year. So Ayuk was wide receiver one. Debo was wide receiver two. Jennings was wide receiver three. Ray was wide receiver four. Ray only had 15 targets all year. He caught 12 of them. So that's good. 12 of 15 is a pretty good ratio, but he only had 15 targets. He had less than one target a game. So I guess you could look at Pearsall and say, well, you know, over under, if the fourth receiver last year got 15 targets and 12 catches, maybe it's 17 or 18 targets and 15 catches. But I think the number is going to be even higher than that. I think he's got a real connection with Purdy, and I think he's going to be a high volume guy. They may not be big plays and they may not be touchdowns, but I think he's going to be a chain mover, continuity piece. I think Purdy's going to look for him. Instead of 15 targets, I think it's going to be more like 40 targets on the year. And I think you're going to look at more like 25 receptions.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So I would 25, say 25 receptions.
25 over under for Pearsall.
And I would go over the 25, even though the numbers say it should be under. But we just saw the minicamp. They looked like they were pretty much – now, granted, there was no Ayuk, but they looked like they were in pretty much lockstep. So I got to think.
I'm going to pick the under just to go against you. And just we'll remember this. 25 over under. We'll see what happens. I do think he'll start. Like, let's say the games that Debo misses, the 2-3 games a year that Debo misses. Jennings won't start. Pearsall will. Jennings is a slot receiver. I don't think they want him out wide. So he'll get some opportunities in those games. But when everyone's healthy, with Juszczyk on the team and all the money they're paying to all these guys, I feel like Kyle's going to have a lot of pressure to give the targets to the guys Jed's paying. So I'm going to say less. Next year, it could be a whole lot.
I'm gambling on the over because I think there could be like a couple of games where Debo or Ayuk aren't there. And I wouldn't be surprised if like a Pearsall had like a game where he had like 7 or 8 catches. So we'll see.
Yeah, I can see it. All right. One more Niner topic. And then I want to move on to Clay Thompson because, wow, what a day. First, who do you think the starting free safety will be on the Niners this season?
Well, there is nobody. I mean, I think Mustafa is a better strong safety. I think Jair is a better strong safety. I think Afonga is a better strong safety. Maybe Mustafa can play the free safety spot. I kind of think that there's got so much depth on the corner that Yadam and Luter and Womack and those guys really fire on the outside and push Renardo Green. I'm going to say Renardo Green is going to be the starting free safety. I don't know who to say because it could be somebody who's not on the team, because I think they are going to probably add a safety, but all of they've got three starting caliber safeties and then George Odom. Odom's a special teamer, but those other guys I think are all better in the box, better closer to the line of scrimmage. I don't know which one could play deep, so I'll say Renardo Green looks good in the preseason and he's your starter at free safety.
That's interesting. The way I look at Jair Brown, I think he's a free safety. I think he's better at free than at strong. Maybe I'm wrong, but he didn't make any plays in the backfield last year. He didn't have any tackles for losses. He didn't have any sacks. Maybe they'll use him as a blitzer more often this year, but as a coverage guy, in like 7 starts, he had five pass breakups and three picks. He ran a 4.58, which is
Great ball skills.
He looks like he has instincts. He's not the fastest guy, but 4.58 with instincts is probably enough to play deep halves. So I like Jair Brown. I actually think he's going to have a major breakout season this year. I think he's going to have a hell of a year.
If he does play free safety and does what you're saying and has a breakout year, the Niners are going to be better than they, you know, that's going to be an improvement point for the team because he's got more ability than what they've had at free safety. I'll say this too, going back to Penn State, he was one of the most productive interceptors in the country 3 years in a row. So he's got ball skills. It's my concern is not, can he catch the errant pass? Like, you know, he's got the ball skills. I'm just worried about, can he cover, you know, can he actually cover in man to man? And I'm a little skeptical on the coverage, but I like him. I mean, I think of the three, I like him the best in the deep middle. The Niners play a lot of zone anyway, so you're really, you know, it might be the cover three zone, and you're just covering a lot of grass in the middle of the field. You know, he's probably the guy who can do it, but I think Green is going to show that he's a really good cover guy.
I think Green will be the starting nickel, and I think their secondary has a chance to be really good. If Talanoa Hufanga comes back and makes a full recovery, if Jair Brown's a safety, I think he is, and if Renardo Green's a nickel, I think he is, that's a hell of a secondary. And
well, you didn't even mention Luter. Luter, I thought, looked right, like the guy at minicamp that just looked like a star. I mean, he looked like a star. I mean, he's big and fast and rangy and dominating, and he looked really good, really good.
I got a comparison for Jair Brown. Let me compare him to a Hall of Famer real quick, just for fun. Ed Reed. You think of Ed Reed as being this incredible ball hawk with unlimited range. You ran a 4.57.
Yeah.
A lot of that range is instincts. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm not saying he's going to be one of the greatest safeties ever, but physically, he has a lot of the same tools. And I think he has more than enough athleticism to be a free safety.
Ed Reed's a spectacular cover guy. I mean, and that would
intercepted
be
a lot of passes.
That's a lofty comparison. That's a lofty comparison.
Hold on. But, let me go back real quick and get Ed Reed's numbers. Ed Reed, first year in the league, 5 picks. Second year, 7 picks. Third year, 9 picks.
Wow.
Jesus. He had 64 picks. Jesus. I didn't even remember him. He was a defensive player. He was the defensive player of the year in 2004. What an incredible player.
I mean, think about that. He was the defensive player of the year in 2004.
Jesus.
We saw him in the Super Bowl in January of 2013.
That's right.
He was still doing his thing in 2013. Yeah.
He was a bit of a graybeard at that point, but he's one of the greatest DBs I've ever seen, especially in my lifetime.
Yeah, GTC, I mean, he's not Ronnie though. Come on. I've heard so many.
Well, Ronnie's before my time. Ronnie's before my time.
But that's like, I just saw a show of the best safeties in football, and Ed Reed is very highly rated. Very, very highly rated.
He should be. I mean, he was better than Earl Thomas, and Earl Thomas was great.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was better.
No doubt.
GTC Real says Kyle Stash has the stench of failure from Super Bowl 54. How would you know? How did you get that close, GTC Real? I would love failure. Okay, we're 40 minutes in. I can't wait anymore. I want to talk about Klay Thompson. He's gone. You'd think that a guy like that would finish his career on the Warriors, but he just signed a deal with the Mavericks that pays him less than what the Warriors offered him. Like, it seems personal. First of all, what do you think? And can the Warriors get better?
Well, I do think it was personal. I think that Klay was like the easiest going guy on the way up. Like when he was coming up, he was the easiest going guy. You never had to worry about his minutes or him complaining about anything. He's just like a golden retriever who just wanted to chase a tennis ball all day. He just was all happy and he just wanted to run and play and play and run, and that's it. But now, as time has gone on, he's a classic example of a guy who's having a hard time dealing with the twilight of his Hall of Fame career. And everything's about, let's get back. And he became this very heavy. His vibe was very heavy. He used to be very light. And now recently it's been very heavy. And I think this is the best thing for everybody involved. It's easy sometimes. It's kind of like the Eric Armstead thing. Eric Armstead was getting old. Eric Armstead had a lot of clout in the room. He's a leader in that room. It will be easier for the Jaguars D-line coach to sit Eric down than it would have been for Chris to sit him down. It's easier to lose face in a new room with new guys than to lose face in the room that you're in when you were one of the leaders. And that's kind of where I think Eric was, which is why it was best for him to move on. And I think that's where Clay is, and that's why it was best for Clay to move on. And the other thing is, you know, Clay got hurt very seriously. You know that. He tore the Achilles. He also tore his ACL. The Warriors paid him like $50 million and signed him to a big money deal after they knew he was hurt. So they didn't know. They felt like they didn't owe him anything, and he felt like they did owe him something. They offered him 2 years, $48 million at the beginning of the year. He turned that down. He's not worth 2 years and $48 million. And he went out and he had a pretty good year and he was really good down the stretch. But, you know, when the team offers you 2 years and $48 million and you're not worth 2 years, $48 million, and you're already overpaid and you're not happy, it was like the team saw the writing on the wall that this guy wasn't going to be happy. So, you know, the Lakers offered him $20 million a year and tried to do a sign and trade that sent D'Angelo Russell to the Warriors. Warriors wanted no part of D'Lo, of part two. And then along came Dallas and offered him a 3-year, $50 million deal with a player option, and then worked a sign and trade to get him a little bit more money. So now Josh Green went to Charlotte, and the Warriors, I think, are probably going to get a second round pick out of it. But I mean, it's an end of an era, and he's a great guy. But they won 4 titles. They went to 6 finals together, the most of any trio: Steph, Draymond, and Clay. They're, you know, great, great player, but I think it'll just be easier for him, and it'll be easier to, you know, be benched in Dallas than it would be to be benched here at some point in the future.
I think I understand where Clay's coming from. Like, he wanted a third year. They didn't offer it to him. They offered Draymond 4 years after he punched a guy, and he's not that good anymore. Like, he's not bad, and you want him, but You wouldn't. It feels like something broke down between Clay and Lacob in particular. And I love this move for the Mavericks. Like, they were just in the finals. Who couldn't use a 6'7" dude who shoots 38-39% from 3 on 9 threes a game? It's going to make them a lot better. I don't see them benching him. Maybe they will. And with the Warriors, I don't see how they get better. Like, Podzemski isn't great. Wiggins isn't engaged. Kuminga can't shoot. Is this team going to make the playoffs next year?
Well, I mean, it's really, you know, it's a good question. I mean, they signed D'Anthony Melton to a 1-year, $12.8 million deal. He's coming off a back injury. There's a lot of talk. They're trying to trade Kuminga and Moody in a sign and trade for Utah.
Oh, who doesn't want them?
Lauri Markkanen. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I will say this. The Warriors, I mean, it doesn't matter if we're talking about basketball, baseball, football, hockey. You win when you have a lot of players in the prime of their career. You don't win when everybody's a rookie, and you don't win when everybody's 32 or 33 or 38, if you're talking about other sports. You got to have guys in their prime. A prime for an athlete is typically like 24 to 27, 28. Maybe some guys, if they stay in great shape till 30, that's your prime. You got to have as many guys in that prime window as you possibly can. The Warriors have none. The Warriors have Andrew Wiggins, and you said it. He's kind of indifferent. He's got $200 million in the bank, and he doesn't give a shit. So he plays half the time. He doesn't play half the time. But that's their entire roster, Grant. They only have one guy, maybe two, if you want to say Gary Payton, that are like actually in the prime of their career. Everybody else is like, you know, babies on the way up, young guys who are 22, 23, who are going to be good in a couple of years, or their core that are all 33 plus and on the back nine. So that's a problem.
Their roster sucks. What they've put together since Jerry West left sucks. And even with Steph Curry, they're going to miss the playoffs next year. And once he finally leaves or retires, there's some very dark days ahead of this franchise. And Joe Lacob has only himself to blame. This guy is a grade A narcissist. This is what he wanted. He pushed out all the personnel people so he and his son could do it themselves. That's what you got. This is what you wanted. And your team, let me say it one more time, the technical term for it, the roster, sucks. It's what it is.
And you know, I mean, it's one thing to, you bought the team and to empower your kid, you know,
heck, no doubt.
You know, I my kid works with me on my channel. You're in the same business that your dad was in. You've heard, but we're talking about making somebody the general manager of your team. Now,
and
they
pushing
have
out Jerry West
there. Yeah, they pushed out Jerry West. They pushed out Bob Myers. They've got Kent and Kurt Lake up there. They've drafted Jordan Bell, Patrick McCaw, Alan Smilagich, Jacob Evans. I mean, they've had
Wiseman, you know, and Kuminga.
Wiseman with the second pick in the draft, you know, and Bob Myers said Joe likes size in his, you know, departure presser, which is basically Bob's way of saying Joe made me take this gigantic stiff 7-footer that couldn't play worth a lick. So it's like, you bought the team, you claimed you were going to win titles, you bought a team that had Joe Montana and Jerry Rice as first and second year players. I mean, that's really what happened. He bought the team. They just drafted Steph Curry, and they found a way to get Draymond Green and Klay Thompson. So he had this incredible core, and everybody wants to say he's Eddie D. Well, let's see what he does. Let's see where it goes now.
Yep.
You know, before we start calling him Eddie D, let's see where this thing goes now. You know, the draft, he made his kids the general managers and assistant general managers and put them in the front office. He chased out all of his guys that have credibility. You know, he's probably called the gentleman. He probably called Bob Myers 27 times a day, which is why Bob said, that's it, enough. And, you know, it's like Joe, he claimed he was light years ahead of the rest of the NBA. All right. Well, if you're light years ahead of the rest of the NBA, then you should be able to pick yourself up and figure this whole thing out and get yourself competitive. Instead, they're not going to compete for an NBA title probably for 20 years. I mean, that would probably be my guess.
Eddie D won with Walsh, and he won without Walsh. He won with Montana, and he won without Montana. So that's what Lacob needs to prove, and he knows it, and that's why he was so eager to build a second core with another timeline. Like, what an ego move, man. It's not about you. It's about Steph and Clay and Draymond, and if you had just surrounded them with younger versions of Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala and Maurice Spates and Leandro Barbosa, team could have contended. But you wanted to get a bunch of guys who were learning how to play basketball in their teens. That's on you. And now the dynasty's over. It's over. This team might have a winning record next year. And they're going to, even if they get the second pick in the draft, you trust the Lakers to make that decision?
Well, I mean, you know, and it just becomes kind of like they hit on somebody, they miss, they hit, they miss. I mean, they had a pretty decent draft last year, but it's just like, you know, once again, do you believe that, you know, anybody can be a general manager? If you do, then buy a team and put your kid in there. But if you don't believe that anybody can do it, and you believe it takes a unique skill set, then maybe go get somebody who's, I don't know, done it before. And that's what they had with Jerry West. Now, West rebuffed them from any criticism because he had so much credibility that he protected his credibility, protected them because they didn't have any credibility. But then they sat next to him for a couple of years and decided, you know what? We can do this. So they kicked him to the curb, forced Myers out. And now they're sitting there doing it themselves, and we'll see if they can do it. I'm very skeptical.
And what's interesting,
they may have to move Steph Curry at some point. I mean, I hate to say it, but I don't see how Golden State can get back off the canvas and lift themselves up here. They don't even have any picks. They don't have any cap room. The CBA has been changed like 19 times. Every one of those changes winds up hurting them. It's almost designed to hurt them and put a lag on them. So I think that, you know, if they win again, it'll probably be like 10 years from now.
The thing with Clay and Lacob, they have history. Remember, who drafted Clay? Jerry West. Who wanted to trade Clay for Kevin Love like 10 years ago? Joe Lacob. Who said, I will quit on the spot if you do that? Jerry West. So. Yeah. The fact that Clay's even made it this far is sort of like against all odds. And now Joe Lacob finally said, you know what? You're expendable. And I wonder how long he's wanted to say that. Very interesting. I wonder what their relationship's like. And I wonder if Klay Thompson will be coming back to be honored by the Warriors and Lakeup in 10, 15 years, or if this is like serious grudge time.
Well, and it's a, you know, what's really vitally important is it's like the Warriors wanted to move on from Klay, but they wanted to be, make sure that Steph didn't feel like they chased out Klay. So how do you do that? How do you, you know, it's like the Farhan Zaidi approach to a negotiation. You're in the deal flow, but you just always offer the wrong offer at the wrong time in the wrong way so that you don't secure the player. And that's Farhan. I'll be in this bidding, but we're not going to land Otani. I'll be in this bidding. But we're not going to land Correa. We're not going to land Harper. We're not going to land Stanton. We're just going to be in the deal flow. But we're not actually going to land them. You know, we made an offer to Madison Bumgarner to stay. Yeah, but it was probably, you know, not delivered the way it should have been delivered to a player of that caliber. And he felt like you wanted him to leave. So he left. You know what I mean? There's a way to make people feel like you want to keep them. And there's a way to make him feel like you want him to leave, even if you're still offering him money. And I think that's what the Warriors want to do. They wanted to offer Klay something so that Steph didn't feel like they were, you know, treating him poorly. So, literally they're a Steph Curry. Hey, you know what? I want to get out of here. Well, how about you trade me from being totally screwed? You know, and they've got an opulent palace of an arena, but it's incredibly expensive. And if their team's not good, and right now their team's not good, who's going to pay, you know, $70 for three tall beers to go watch a team win 35 games?
That could be a real empty place. It's going to be funny if the Mavericks win a championship with Klay Thompson and he's a key member of that team and the Warriors miss the playoffs. I mean, Joe, you better cross your fingers and toes, man. This could get ugly for you, even with all of your championships, man, because you inherited Steph Curry. You brought in Jerry West and Travis Schlenk, and those were really, really savvy moves. And then all of a sudden, something happened. You decided you wanted to do it on your own. Well, you are. Congratulations, you're doing it on your own, and it's not looking so good. I mean, you traded Chris Paul and a first-round pick. Hold on. You traded Jordan Poole and a first-round pick for Chris Paul, who was old as hell. And then you cut him.
1 year later. First of all, you told us that Jordan Poole was super special. Mm-hmm. You signed him to just a ridiculous contract where he's making $35 million a year. On the first day of that contract, I went on the radio and said, that is a ridiculous overpay. And all these people pushed back. No, you don't understand. You don't understand. 2 years later, he's gone and you got a player back for him. But could you spin that player into another asset? No. You had to let him go too. So now you turned a 22-year-old player that you drafted at the end of the first round and turned into a star, and you paid him too much and then offloaded him for a veteran who you then offloaded for nothing. So how to it's like, let's write a book, how to devalue an asset in like less than a calendar year by the Warriors.
It's incredible. I mean, really, like, Joe Lacob is at the point where he should fire himself. You need less responsibility, Joe. Less on your plate. You're doing too much.
Yeah. How about this? How about let the guys who have the titles do the job? You know what? You and I have both been critical of Jed at different points along the way.
Yeah.
You know what doesn't happen in the 49er land? Jed does not walk into the war room and demand a certain offensive tackle.
It's true.
Doesn't do it.
That's what Lacob did. I want Wiseman. I never thought I'd see the day that Jed York was the best owner in the Bay Area, but here we are.
He's learned his lessons. He's learned a lot of them. I mean, they've been very painful.
I don't
want to
give Jed
tweeting,
too much praise on my channel.
Thanksgiving tweeting.
I just want to say, this is more a condemnation of Joe Lacob and what they got at the Giants. Jed's good. He could be better, but what the hell was going on with the Giants and the Warriors?
Yeah, I mean, Joe does what Jed does in that Jed does cut the check every time his football people tell him to cut the check. He does. And Joe cuts the check. But Jed is not trying to be the GM. Joe is the GM. Joe is the Christian McCaffrey trade was not made by Jed. The Klay Thompson trade probably was made by Joe. That's the difference. You know, I mean, that Joe, you know, they always say a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing. That's Joe. He's got a little bit of knowledge about basketball. His kids have a little bit of knowledge about basketball. But you know what? Jed doesn't make himself the GM. He doesn't have people in his family that are the head of college scouting. Well, the Niners have a real football personnel department with real football personnel people, not relatives of the owner.
The Giants, the three big franchises in the Bay, Warriors, Niners, Giants. The Giants are flat out boring. They're mediocre. They're slow. They don't have a hitter who's interesting or exciting. They're a boring team. The Warriors are a couple years away from that. And the Giants are exciting as hell. So thank you. I mean, excuse me, the Niners. I call them the Giants. The Niners are exciting as hell. So thank you very much, Jed and Kyle and John and Brock and Brandon and all of you guys. I give you guys a lot of crap, but man, you could be the Warriors. So thank you.
Well, you got to stay. I mean, here's the one bottom line on it. Giants got kind of nostalgic. You know, they won those three titles. They fell in love with their guys. Joe Lacob won the four rings, but then instead of being like Bill Walsh and staying 2 years ahead, 3 years ahead, a couple steps ahead, he is, even though he's a self-made billionaire, he's got this warmth for, now Clay's moving on, but he's got this warmth for Steph and Clay and Draymond and Andre Iguodala and all this warmth for these guys that won before, and he wanted to keep this thing together. You gotta keep going. You gotta keep going. You gotta keep making moves. You gotta keep, you know, the thing cooking. And you can't, there's no room for nostalgia. You can't sit there and go, oh, you know what? We went to the Super Bowl 54 with Jimmy. We can't let Jimmy go. He's our guy. No, you gotta look at the future. And the Warriors with Joe, I think, are looking, they're keeping one eye on the future, but they've also got one eye on their past going, hey man, that was pretty freaking cool. So you can't do that. You can't look at the past. You have to focus on the future.
Just a countdown until Steph Curry requests a trade. Can't wait. Fish and Chip says, after the pod, BA, clear out your locker, move on. That's how you feel?
Wow. Wow.
Brother Bob says, Grant, what's Kyle Levy's excuse for losing in primetime? Here's my thing. I'm sort of like feeling like calling him Kyle Levy is almost too much of a compliment. Marv Levy went to four straight Super Bowls. Kyle hasn't done that. It's not the ultimate accomplishment, but four straight AFC conference championships, not that many people have done that. And that's why he's in the Hall of Fame. That right there.
You know, before we're going to bash on Kyle, should Jimmy have beaten Mahomes? Should Purdy have beaten Mahomes? Should Matt Ryan in the Falcons, who he wasn't the head coach, should he have beaten Tom Brady in his prime? And going over Marv Levy, should Marv Levy's Bills have beaten Dallas? No. Should they have beaten the Redskins? No. I mean, the only team they should have potentially beat was the New York Giants. And you got to give Parcells and Otis Anderson and the Giants credit that day. They had a phenomenal game plan. So,
wait a second. That's revisionist history. The Niners were literally favorites in the Super Bowl.
They were favorites.
You can't go back and be like, well, they had Mahomes. The Niners were 2-point favorites. They're better.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, in reality, I mean, the Niners had the Chiefs had the better quarterback and the better defense and a head coach who had won multiple rings. And the Niners had a coach who'd never won any rings. You know, a young quarterback who was in his first year as the starter and a worse defense. I think it's safe to say the wrong team was favored, but I'm just saying, are we going to bang? What's the worst screw up there? It's of Levy's losses and Kyle's losses. Which is the one that's the worst loss combined? I would say it's probably Kyle losing the Super Bowl to the Patriots up 28-3, but he wasn't even the head coach, and the defense had a big hand in that as well. So how much blame can you throw him on that? On Levy's biggest F-up was losing to the New York Giants, and that was still a very, very good team, coached by a Hall of Famer, who had I thought that was maybe one of the three or four greatest game plans in the history of the Super Bowl. And they just had a great day. They had a great game, but I wouldn't say that Levy has anything really to be embarrassed about. And I don't think to this point, Kyle has anything to truly be embarrassed about. He hasn't won. And if he finishes his career without winning, that will be bad. But I look at Kyle kind of the same way I looked at Reed when he was in Philly. Good football coach. But like Reed went to the Super Bowl, but he went there with Mahomes against Brady. So I don't, you know, and I don't really blame Reed for not winning in Philly. I don't know that he ever had the best team. I don't know that Kyle's ever had the best team, and I don't know that Levy ever had the best team.
Kyle had the best team last year.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everyone said this is the best roster in the league. This is the best roster in the league. People were saying, is this team better than the 94 Niners? How many people said that? Those were discussions on shows.
How many people did you and I interview that week of Super Bowl week? How many people actually thought? Like, I interviewed 25 people. I don't think more than one or two people thought the 49ers were better than the Chiefs.
The betting public did. I mean, that's who they bet on.
But the betting public is also about trying to draw the number is all about trying to draw the people on both sides. And I mean, the Niners in Vegas, I mean, it's close to the Bay Area.
You can say Mahomes is the best player in the league, but the Niners have the best roster in the league. They've had the best roster in the league for years. They're the Cowboys from the early 90s, not the Bills.
But I mean,
Kyle is a bizarro version of Jimmy Johnson who goes to the Super Bowl and loses.
But
they
have
the best team.
But I mean, Andy Reid, if you asked every player in the league who's the best coach in football, most people would say Andy Reid. If you ask who's the best quarterback in football, all of them are going to say Patrick Mahomes. You know, there are people that didn't even think Brock Purdy was worthy of being a starting quarterback. This guy wound up in the Super Bowl with Shanahan's Niners. They were 2-point favorites, but every person I talked to throughout the entire week in Vegas thought that the Chiefs should have been favored.
The 49ers are a super team. They have a MVP candidate quarterback who you think is phenomenal. They have an all pro at every position group. They have like 9 or 10 of the top 100 players in the league. Marv was never the Bills were never like that.
Just look at it this way. Look at it this way, Grant. If the Niners had lost to Green Bay, I think there was reason to rake them over the coals. If they lost to Detroit, I think there would be reason to rake them over the coals. Losing to Kansas City and Mahomes and Reed, I wanted them to win, but I mean, I was definitely not cocky going into Super Bowl Sunday. Were you that the Niners were going to win? I mean, I thought they had a shot.
I picked the Chiefs because I would never pick Kyle Shanahan to win a Super Bowl. But the Chiefs weren't great last year. They lost to the Raiders.
No, you're right. You're right. They almost lost
to the Bills. They almost lost to the Ravens. They snuck into the Super Bowl and they shouldn't have won.
They did. But they also credit Reed. He really did simplify everything at the end of the year. He just stopped going to anybody.
He's a great coach.
He's a great coach.
All-time great.
And he just stopped going to the receivers he couldn't trust. So it just became a Kelce, Pacheco, Rashee Rice, and that's it. Nobody else touched the ball. So, yeah, the Niners should have – I mean, I wanted to see them win the game, but the Chiefs, to me, losing to Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, I don't know.
Larry.
To me, they're better.
Who did you pick to win?
I probably picked the Niners. I don't even remember who I picked, to be honest, but I think I probably picked the Niners.
All right. I just want to check. That's our show. No, wait, hold on. Brother Bob says Grant. Okay. Kyle Reeves or Kyle Grant get PP. Kyle Grant. I don't want that though. That's the Bud Grant one, but then my name's involved and I don't want it. We can go with that though.
That's right.
Sheridan Milestone said, what golf balls do you use? Callaway, Matt Red, Super Soft are the best remedy to a lot of wandering around looking for wild hits. I do like neon balls because I have a tough time finding them because I hit them all over the place.
I did see you from the range on the, would you put that on Twitter?
Oh, on YouTube. Those are all my good ones. It was like a 10-minute clip and I got 1 minute of good shots. So
let me tell you one thing that's super cool. I mean, one of the coolest things I think I've ever seen. If you can record your golf swing when you hit it absolutely pure in slow-mo. Oh, dude, nothing looks cooler than hitting a golf ball like 350 right down the middle in slow-mo.
I wish I could hit 350. That'd be pretty cool.
Try to hit slow-mo and you'll see what I'm talking about. You mean you see the club come back and it just hits the ball perfect. You see the ball start to take off. I mean, it's awesome.
I'll do it. Yeah. Sheridan, I use Titleist Velocity and I don't know why, because I buy a carton of 12 and I lose 6 in a round. And I feel every time I lose one of those balls, I die a little bit inside. So
I used to use the Slazenger Bellotta balls, but they cut too easily. So now I can't go with them anymore. So I can't go. I still like a Slazenger ball, but the Bellottas are no longer
in not the Bellottas. Nice says the crazy part is you could say Shanahan is largely responsible for Reid and Mahomes' legacy. When Andy Reid gets inducted into the Hall of Fame, he needs to spend 5 minutes talking about Kyle and thanking Kyle for being Kyle. I firmly believe that. Sean McGee says, when the league keeps poaching your coaches, does Kyle get credit if they keep winning, or does he get credit as staff hires moving forward if they win? Yeah, he gets credit, but doesn't his dad get credit too, Mike? I mean, Mike hired Sean McVay and Matt LaFleur and Mike McDaniel. Kyle didn't hire them initially in Washington.
You know, it is interesting too. I was asking my son the other day, because we were talking about what are the key factors to winning the Super Bowl? What do you have to have? And I said, to me, it was like, you got to have a great coach and you got to have a quarterback that you can, that's, I didn't be great, but it's got to be very good. You got to have a very good quarterback. You got to have a very good head coach. And I said to him, how many teams do you think around football today have both a very good Super Bowl winning type head coach and a quarterback you think you can win the Super Bowl with? And it's not a lot of teams, man. It's like six or seven. It's not very many.
All right, it's 5:15 on the West Coast. I'm schwitzing. It's really hot. I can only imagine how hot it is in the creek.
Dude, I'm sweating. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, that's enough. Thank you for watching, everyone. A lot of people watching. A lot of people cared about Klay Thompson today. I'm grateful. Make sure you follow Larry. Follow me. I bet you already do. But if you don't, what are you waiting for? Come on. Thanks for watching.
Have a good day.
Dave's Killer Bread was built on the belief that second chances can change lives when its founder, Dave, the guy with the guitar you see on every loaf, returned to the family bakery after 15 years in prison. That's why at Dave's Killer Bread, they proudly practice second chance employment, hiring the best person for the job, regardless of criminal background. Visit Dave'sKillerBread.com to learn more and look for Dave's Killer Bread in the bread aisle of your local grocery store. Dave's Killer Bread. Bread amplified.
Save on O'Reilly Brake Parts Cleaner. Get two cans of O'Reilly Brake Parts Cleaner for just $8. Valid in-store only at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.